Let's take a look at BSU overall. How could we apply these things? We've dealt mostly with one-to-one and Bible studies. But let's take a look at, say, Vespers meeting. Now, we could go to your large ministry team meeting, or maybe the meeting that you're a part of, or staff meeting. We could go to Bible studies. We could go to a retreat. But I want to show you a way that you can begin to think about this in a bigger context than one-to-one or small group. It won't be as strong an impact, but you can apply these concepts to even something like Vespers. How? I'd like you to work on this yourselves. The other night, I think this would be better to do first. The other night, whenever I spoke in Vespers, how many of you were there? Was everybody there? Anybody not there? Didn't make it? Okay. You can take what these others say by faith. If you were there, I spoke in Vespers, and I utilized several of these principles whenever I spoke. Which one do you think I used? Now, this is one of those things where I got a right answer in mind. If you guess a little bit wrong, there's some of them I may or may not have used. But I did use some of them, definitely. There may be more than I'm thinking about. Okay, how did I use that? Which one of these subcategories? Help them think about values and attitudes and learn what they mean. Which one of these subcategories did I hit in that one? Can you think of just one? Or an example? What, Carolyn?
You had to identify all those different things in 1 Corinthians 13 and then go through
a second. Okay. One of the things I had you do, remember, is write down your definition of love, basically. Hey, think of a loving person, write down the qualities of love. I made you specify an attitude, and then we compared it with what Scripture said. So you had to deal with an attitude right there. So, God, I used that one. See, another one, you might think of another instance where that was used. The three qualities of one person.
Right, three qualities of one person. That would be reflect on life.
Okay. Okay, right. It'd be close to reflecting on life in the light of truth, thinking back on the past.
When you had us analyze our own attitudes, when you had us pick one thing that we needed to really work on, that we wanted to work on.
Okay, good. Analyzing your own attitudes, identifying something definite, you know, calling it to evaluation. And I asked for you to take some steps in responding, but I didn't really give you an opportunity to.
But you gave, I think that was our assignment. You used, yeah. Because you gave illustrations about how to treat algebra.
Okay, I gave some illustrations about how to treat a person. But if I'd really done this one immediately, I would have said, okay. And I wasn't sure what the Lord's saying to do this or not, so we didn't. But I just said, okay, we're going to stop right now. And we're going to have prayer. We're going to pray. And if there are things wrong between you and somebody else, you clear them up right now. That would have been a clear place for you to respond. Now, some people did that anyway afterwards. But I didn't really call for it. So I didn't totally utilize that one. Some others? I suggested it, but I didn't call for it. I didn't create the situation. See some others?
Well, you use prayer.
Yeah, a lot of people were praying for you. You had been praying, and we prayed at the beginning. Let me show you one that I used repeatedly. Was this one, provide meaningful emotional experiences. I did it with humor. What I did was I got you to laugh at the attitudes that you yourself have. Walk through situations and made them look ridiculous so that you'd laugh at them. What that did was that gave you a more meaningful emotional experience with a positive attitude. Yeah, I'd like to be a part of that. Humor can be used like that. The way you have to watch it, because it can also be used destructively. It's a hard thing, but humor can be effective there. Especially when you're laughing at yourself. It gets tricky when you laugh at someone else. Yeah. So you watch it. That was one thing. I said some hard things to some people, but because I communicated an attitude of acceptance of them as well as using the humor, I wasn't rejected by most people. They'd rejected me, they'd rejected what I was standing for too. But the humor and openness and interchange to the group kept that from occurring for most people, I think.
You're talking about when you're speaking of the strengths, but then there's weaknesses also. Is that what you're referring to about the humor?
Yeah, you had people identify themselves as certain men you told their weaknesses.
That would be one example. Another would be like Albert. So, you know, Albert is a bum. Well, you've seen, you grin because you've seen people you want to say, he's a bum. And we go through that. Very next week, you're going to walk past somebody, probably, and you're going to say, well, that person's a bum. Uh-oh. There's a catch in there now. Whenever I begin to express that attitude. What I need to do then, I remember, is I need to encourage this guy. I'm going to try helping him. Now, what I'd like you to do is think for just a moment in groups of, say, two or three. We'll do this. I think we need to. How exampling could be used in Vespers. Say, just the whole principle of examples. Who'd like to think on that? I don't mean just in the speaker, but I mean from the time it starts to the time it finishes. How could this principle of exampling be used to help shape values? Who would like to work on that one? Brainstorm. Carolyn and Max would? Okay.
No fair.
Who would like to work on helping them think about values and attitudes? You'd like to tackle that one? We can have more than one group working on a section. Values and attitudes, raise your hands and get together. Go ahead and get together, you guys. You're together. Meaningful emotional experiences. Okay? Why don't you three get together then? Opportunities to act concerning the value quality. How many of you would like to work on that one? Opportunities to act? Okay? Could be share insights or take action. Get together. If you're interested in using exampling, how many of you are interested in exampling again? You've all got to work on something. Okay, go ahead and get into groups, work on this. What I want to know is this: everybody, get clear. Everybody, listen to me. What I want to know is how can we use this in Vespers, all the way from the start, from the time things begin to finish, not just during the speaker, though the speaker might be involved. And you've got about 4 minutes, 5 minutes. Want some brainstorming, some suggestions.
Said she
wouldn't be here
until about 6.
Okay. Thank you. Jot these down, by the way. Write them down.
Yeah. Over.
Your notes contain some examples that might spark your thinking.
Huh?
Your notes contain some examples. You may have some examples there that might spark your thinking.
Are values and attitudes in any relation, are they related to goals?
They're usually determined the kind of goals you set. Things you treasure determine what you go after.
If you don't have any goals, though, that doesn't mean you don't have any values, though, right?
Right.
But the other way...
Like one of your values may be just to be lazy, so you don't have any goals.
You know, some people... One thing is music, because the kind of music that's used, the content of music, could ask,
neither one of the
Maybe.
No, reference. We did something like that. Yeah, what happened there?
Well, you know, it's, you know, you just don't run up to somebody and say, what's your vote for? It's kind of y'all not necessarily because when you want to get a model or share it, you know, and it wouldn't be for us.
Okay. What I'd like you to do, what I'd like you to do, everybody listen to me. What I'd like you to do is appoint a spokesman and let's come back together. I'd like you to just get somebody to give us some ideas from your group. Realizing that some of these may be really off the wall, and some. Who's your spokesman? Let's see your hand. Okay. Everybody back around this way. Some of these ideas. Here you go. Right up here. We're now operating in a climate of freedom. Some of these ideas may be off the wall, some of them may be real nuggets, and some of them may get a little bit close to you because of your program responsibilities. So, we're operating in a climate of freedom. We're open to sharing. You can evaluate ideas later.
You can evaluate them later. Right now, we just want your feedback. Feedback from your group. Okay. How about example? That was our first one. First one we dealt with was example. Example group, let's hear from you. What are some ways that examples might be used for the principle of example? Just give them real quick.
The other topic was just single vespers, you know, which would be topical, varying with the individual speaker and what he was talking about.
Okay, so that'd be a character quality that would be talked about that night, or something to be dealt with that
right.
night.
And we
how to exemplify
back that up by testimony, personal testimony that has something to do with that, and maybe by special music too that might speak to that topic.
Okay. Good. What's next? Help them learn to think about values, their values and attitudes. Learn what they mean. Is this a game?
Yeah.
Okay.
One thing, the playing music, where the music gets them to think through their values. Skits related to character. Most of our skits have been related to announcements, but skits that were related to character. Testimonies that would get them to reflect on life. Light of truth. Then we thought of maybe something else in which we pass out 3x5 cards in which even before we begin we have them, like last Thursday night we could have had them write out what were some things that you really appreciated about your family life, that were what were some things that really built love in your family life as you were growing up. You know, those
okay.
are some things that could have been done beforehand to allow people to reflect on life.
Good. Good. What's our next group? Meaningful emotional experiences.
Oh, that's us. Well, Mary suggested that would make everybody feel well accepted by talking to them, that, you know, because, you know, you always hear about people who felt like they stood around and for refreshments forever and no one talked to them. And don't use Baptist jargon and, you know, Christian jargon. We talked about that ministry team and like games that would cause people to interact. We have an opportunity to play games like Secret Saints parties and stuff like that to get everybody involved. And maybe clue speakers in when they come on doing kind of like what Harold did Thursday, leading up to an application. They don't always have to, you know, provide the opportunity during Vesper, but always lead up to some kind of application, then their message, and maybe through the needs of cell group or people that you know that are coming to Vespers, we might allow speakers to know some of the needs that people are facing, so they'll know what to share, because so they, you know, I don't know, have their needs met.
I might tell them some of the things your group's going through.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Good.
Okay.
Opportunities to act.
First off, I thought that after the speaker, that they could immediately get into groups or pairs or something and decide on, tell others what they heard and then how they can apply it. And then a way we can kind of check up on that is to the next week have role plays or something on how they did work that out that week, and or testimonies that a few people stand up and give a testimony on what God did for that week, what they learned. Let's see, they can visualize, like in those groups, what the speaker said, and we could also throw out a case study to them.
Okay. Sounds like, are we amplified now?
Yeah, we are.
Good. The amplified version of the seminar here. These are some ways that you can deal with even large group settings. Generally, the smaller the group, the greater the impact. The larger the group, the lesser the impact. But you can even use large group settings. Let me toss out some ideas. One of the things that you might do, just in choosing your speakers, seems like you try to do this, I've seen your list of speakers, is pick people who will example the quality, even in the way they relate to the audience. Or tell them to figure out some ways to do that. And then after the thing is over, who will example that quality? Or whatever it is you're dealing with, in a way they relate to people. Be an idea. Authoritative sources, you use that whenever you use somebody who has expertise in a given area. You also use it when you give your speaker a good introduction. If you don't give them a good introduction, this is Joe Blow from you know where. Come on up, Joe. We're just one big happy family here. And people say, who is Joe Blow? Well, give him a good introduction, a good platform to stand on, and make him sound like an authority source. Introduction will really help. And for college students, that usually has to do with education. For Christian college students, often with ministry experience. Help them think about values and attitudes. You came up with some good things on that. The use of maybe some buzz groups or little groups like we had the other night to try to identify attitudes or specify something, that can help there. Meaningful emotional experiences. Watch your humor. Watch what you laugh at. Really watch what you laugh at, because every time you start laughing, you start setting a pattern. And you know, you like to laugh in a big group. Things are funny, and that's good. Just really watch what kind of jokes are cracked. Okay. There's some question on laughter there. But watch what kind of jokes are told. I was in Los Angeles one time at a conference in a church. Many people had stayed around for the worship service after the conference. And the speaker got up, and he was being funny, and he says, I clue speakers in on things that they better watch about. But he says, talking about his knowledge of Greek, he says, a standard joke among preacher types. Yeah, I know a little Greek. He used to run a restaurant around the corner. Well, that's not funny in Los Angeles. You don't put down minority groups, especially when they're sitting in the audience. Well, watch that stuff. I clue speakers in. Max?
You know, one thing I think that might be a good place to say it just to be safe, but forget every joke you know about anybody that's a question. I remember remember Bruce McKeever tell a situation one time. They were in a youth revival deal, and they were in this home, and this boy started telling a joke about a little cross-eyed boy, and he got into it, and got too far into it, and he looked across the table, and there was one right directly across the table from him.
Oh.
And there wasn't anything he could do, and he went on top, and there wasn't a light, but there wasn't anyone, and everyone just ate in silence the rest of the meal.
Yep.
Anything that has to do with afflictions, somebody being dumb, cross-eyed, anything like that, boy, if you know them, forget them, because there's no place ever to tell them.
That's right. So, I did that one time in a group. Or did it before some people. It was a small group before we started the church. And there was a person there, that very same affliction. And the Holy Spirit said, see what you just did? And so I just ate it right there in front of the group. I said, boy, that was wrong. That was ungodly. It was sin. And I've hurt you. And I've expressed pride and no heart for you, and it was wrong. Will you forgive me? If you ever do, boy, eat it right there on the spot. Don't let that thing go. It'll spread like wildfire.
What about like Aggie jokes and Bulldog jokes and stuff like that?
You're probably safer with Aggie jokes, because Bulldogs are a minority group. And the Aggies like to laugh at themselves. That's sort of the status thing for some of them. However, you're just better off to leave most of them just dead. Just leave them there. Don't even touch the area.
What's safe humor? Just to laugh about.
You're almost always safe when you're laughing at yourself. Or something funny happens. Something peculiar. I was in church service one time. It was a church where there were a lot of charismatics. It wasn't a charismatic church. They were in the church. And everybody's aware of it, and they'd accepted them, and they were pressing on to know God. Pastor was giving an invitation, and right in the middle of the thing, he finished the sermon, across the PA system, you know, a CB comes by. Everybody looked around. Pastor just stopped, and he said, would someone interpret that, please? For the church, it was a real point. You know, they'd accepted one another, and it was peace in the group, and they just laughed. It was so funny. There are some places, though, if he'd said, you know, with a smart attitude, would someone interpret that, please? Boy, that would have been deadly. Just really watch before you use humor. Now, practical jokes, boy, watch them. Really watch them. If you serve people and upbuild them, it's hard to put them down. So watch humor, because what you do is you reinforce wrong attitudes whenever you start laughing. Just watch, really watch it closely. It can be used powerfully, but also be destructive. Opportunities to act. One of the things we do at the church is we try to take a few minutes after the sermon and let people make practical application. It means we don't have too many invitations. We usually have 65 to 70 decisions every Sunday night, though. People decide what they're going to do for the week. But give time for people to make a practical response. What are you going to do about this week? What steps are you going to take? I'd like to leave you with a scripture. Take a look at Isaiah 29. The scripture Craig showed me the other day. I'll be reading it from the RSV. Isaiah 29, verse 13. And the Lord said, I'll wait till everybody gets there. Go ahead and turn if you need to. I move too fast sometimes. And the Lord said, because this people draw near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment of men learned by rote. It's memory. Therefore, behold, I will again do marvelous things with this people, wonderful and marvelous, and the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the discernment of their discerning men shall be hid. The wonderful and marvelous things are going to be destructive, and it's going to cause people to stand back and say, good grief, what God has done. God's interested in our knowing the Word. Well, most people are messed up just because they don't know it. So teach people the Word. But He's interested in a lot more than men having giant verse packs. He's interested in lives that live them out and hearts that spring open in love to Him. Now, God has put you in a position of spiritual leadership. You lead out of the Word, and you lead out of who you are. Athanasius, he's a defender of the faith about the year 325. Athanasius said, the life should command, the lip should persuade. I challenge you at the point of your example. I've given you plenty of techniques to use, and they will help you. But there will be few tools more powerful than your own life. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, You set the pace for us. You're the one who washed feet. You're the one who went to the cross. Whenever You said that if we can't follow You unless we take up our cross, You weren't telling us to go and do. You said, come follow Me. I pray, Father, that You will strengthen us, for it indeed does take strength to really follow You. And I ask for power in this group to live out the life of Christ and to lead others into it. Ask for wisdom, discernment. And I pray, Lord, that You will raise up men and women right here whose lives will speak far louder than the words, but who have the courage to put words along with their life. Grant wisdom, Father. We want many, many, many to come to know You and to walk with You. We love You, Lord Jesus. We ask You to take things that have been done and to apply them to our lives. By Your power, Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Okay, I've run you over, but I may not get to see you again this side of heaven. And I want to make sure that you had some grasp of how to get this thing into action. Do we need to thank the Lord for the food, too? Do we need to do that here, or are we going to do it downstairs?
We need to thank You.
Yeah.
You're most welcome.
We do appreciate it. Very, very much.
Thank you. Let's, what do you thank the Lord here?
Good. Who are we?
No, because I talk way too much.
I've enjoyed the time with you. We'll be around a little while and eat dinner with you. And I asked my 1972 judge to be spared. May God bless you.